What a joy to be here tonight, to know that our God once more has granted us this honor and this privilege to be here as his saints, to worship him in spirit and in name. To know that we are here, as always, to honor our God in accordance to his will. Therefore, we have much to be grateful for, and we have much to offer our spiritual burnt offerings to honor him. If you are visiting us tonight, we thank you. Thank you for being here tonight. We thank you for gracing us with your presence, and we hope and pray that if you have any questions or if you have any doubts about what it is that you must do in order to become a child of God, that you would be willing to give us that time to sit with you, to open our Bibles and allow God's word to answer those questions for you. Please open your Bibles to the letter written to the Romans. Letter written to the Romans, chapter 1. We will be picking up from where we left off this morning. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and verse 19. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against the ungodliness, all ungodliness and all and of unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Please bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father and our beloved God, once more we come to you through the avenue of prayer. We come, O Lord, because we seek to bow with you with reverence, to honor you and to give thee praise, for only thou art worthy of such praise. We thank you because once more we have been given life and we've been given the time, the health, and the opportunity to be assembled here together tonight so that we can honor your holy name and that, Father, together we may worship thee in spirit and in truth. For those, Father, who have yet to become thy children, please be with them. Please allow them to listen intently, Lord, as we now seek to understand about this warning given to those who have already been justified, that we, Father, may understand, Lord, who we were and why it is vital, Father, that we remain of who we are now, that we stand always before thee without shame, and that we always, Father, look to honor thee and to please thee in our lives, with our lives, by our faith. We thank you once more, Father. We ask for the forgiveness of our sins, for we pray this in the glorious and mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning we began by understanding and seeing that in chapter 1 through chapter 3, we see a comparison. We see a comparison between two contrasts. We know this to be that word of juxtaposition. You see, the Apostle Paul juxtaposes the unrighteous with the righteous. He juxtaposes those who have been justified with those who have yet to be justified. And we were able to see this morning that in verses 16 and 17, he transitions from those who are righteous, and he begins then in verse 18 and 19 to begin to speak about those who are unrighteous. In the first 16, 17 verses of the chapter, the Apostle Paul appeals to those who have yet to obey the gospel of Christ. He appeals to those who perhaps are wondering, is it possible to be justified? Is it truly a fact that justification is possible for all mankind? Well, he, being once himself a persecutor of the church, calling himself to Timothy the chief among sinners, was able to obtain justification through the precious blood of the Lamb. And therefore, in the first 17 verses of the chapter, he declares what the power of the gospel is not only able to do, but what it looks like in the presence of a saint, in the presence of those, as verse 7 says, who have been called the beloved of God. Therefore, now pay attention to verse 18 and verse 19. You see, tonight we've entitled our lesson, A Warning to the Justified. Once more, what you're going to see that Paul does frequently throughout the entire letter is he frequently begins to talk to one audience and then immediately turns attention to the other side of the audience. He never leaves anyone out. He always includes everyone because his purpose is to represent and to demonstrate that both sin and the remission of sins are universal. And in here at verse 18, pay attention to the fact that the wrath of God is now revealed. So in verse 17, the righteousness of God was revealed. Where was it revealed? In the gospel that has the power to save. Therefore, now we must begin by asking the question, well, what reveals the wrath of God? What is it that brings forth God's wrath and manifests it? Now, for those who believe that God is all love and that because he is only love, God would never punish or God would never be severe, pay attention to the fact that here we're seeing, as later on in the same letter we're going to learn, both sides of God. We are seeing his benevolent side, verse 17, but we are also seeing now his wrath, his righteous wrath, verse 18. So there is a transition that he makes. There is where Paul switches gears, if you will. And notice, brethren, that what we're about to see in the next verses of the chapter, we are going to be shown from what world we came from. This is where you and I were once before Christ was allowed in our lives. This is whom we were right before we decided to put on Christ through the obedience of the gospel. And pay attention to the fact that as in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, here we're about to get a vivid description of what by nature, says Paul to the Ephesians, means to be children of disobedience and children of wrath. Again, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. So what makes us ungodly, what makes us unrighteous, is disobedience. You see, what made us beloved of God, what made us called by him to be saints, is obedience. And there is the slight difference between the unjust and the just. There is the key difference of how justification works versus how justification fails. You see, justification itself doesn't fail. The man who chooses to reject it fails in obtaining it. When used, it will work. But if we always see that box with the red lettering, break in case of sinful, well, if we never break that glass and take hold of that emergency kit, well, then it becomes useless to that person. The object within the emergency box is not useless, but the person who kept it there is, right? And thus, when we begin to see in verse 18 and verse 19, we see that Paul makes the transition from those who are beloved to God to those who are now in the category of children of wrath. But brethren, make no mistake, you and I were once children of wrath. And we were children of wrath because God's wrath is revealed against all unrighteousness, against all ungodliness. This means that even as, in human terms, the most smallest of sins, I always bring up the example of the little white lie, a lie that is tried to be justified with sparing someone's feelings. A lie, by God's definition, is still a lie. And therefore, because that is how the Holy of Holies defines it, it is included in the all ungodliness and all unrighteous list and category. And thus God's wrath is revealed against it. So when we look at this, brethren, let us then begin to see why is this the case. Verse 19. Verse 18, God's wrath is revealed. But verse 19, why? Why is it that ungodliness, why is it that unrighteousness brings forth and makes known God's, if you will, ugly side, if we want to call it like that? Although even his wrath is not ugly. But if we want to call his severe side, to use the biblical term, notice verse 19, what it teaches us. Because, that explains why his wrath is shown. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Therefore, you see, brethren, when you and I are unrighteous, when you and I are ungodly, when we do not take God's grace, God's glory is blocked. We seek to suppress the glory of God. We seek to keep God away from his glory. Do you recall what God's words to Moses were? Why was it that God did not allow Moses to enter into the promised land? You see, if you remember, it wasn't so as simple as because Moses struck the rock. Many times in trivia and in Bible questions and whatever the case may be, we quickly answer because God told him to speak to the rock and he struck it. Well, although that is the right answer, it is not fully understand why that would be enough to kindle God's wrath against Moses. You see, God tells Moses why. God tells Moses there in the book of Numbers that because he disobeyed and that because he did not do as he commanded, and I quote, this is God speaking, Jehovah God speaking to Moses, I was not glorified among Israel today. You see, it isn't as simple as Moses simply striking the rock. It was what Moses blocked God from obtaining because of his disobedience. If you pay attention to the fact, Moses, when he speaks to the people in his anger and in his impatience with them, because they had always been nagging, they had always been complaining, Moses lumps himself with God and saying, must we give you water yet again? Moses put himself at the level of God because he was angry. He was not thinking. This is why here in this section it is a warning to us. Because sometimes, brethren, in those moments that we can call heat of the moment, we tend to forget that if we are not careful in tempering our hearts and in tempering our reactions, we can be the obstacle that keeps God's glory away from him. So when we begin to delve into this, notice Romans 1, and we're not going to read it all, but I encourage you to read verses 20 through 23. Notice that what we begin to see is that the first thing that we once were, where we came from, and what we must care not to fall into is that we were ungrateful creation. We were an ungrateful creation. Verse 19 once more reveals that God had made himself manifest in his creation. That God made sure that mankind would know who their creator is. But beginning at verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So verses 18 through 21, we begin to see that God's wrath was revealed in us. God's wrath was against us when we were in darkness, because when we chose to live in sin, when we chose to remain in a state of life that dishonored our Creator, we were ungrateful of what had been given to us. We took it for granted. We took our lives for granted. We took our breath for granted. We took our health and our good well-being for granted. You see, brethren, when we choose to live in our lust, when we choose to live in our desires and not please God, we are not being thankful to the Almighty. Remember what we've been studying Sunday mornings in the class of Ecclesiastes? What was the case that was going on with Koheleth as he is journeying under the sun? In chapters 1 and 2, he realized that he was unsatisfied. He was left hollow, that he came to this very dreadful view of life where he said, why is this life worth living? What is the purpose of this life? Well, in Acts chapter 17, and if you will, turn with me there, notice that you can clearly see that in Athens, something similar was happening. Something similar was taking place. Chapter 17 of Acts, beginning there at verse 18. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, what does this babbler want to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange thing to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. Now notice verse 21. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. They were never satisfied. They always wanted something more. They always wanted something new. But then when this new thing was brought to them, what was their reaction? Well, if you read verse 32, and they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked while others said, we will hear you again on this matter. It wasn't good enough. It was not necessarily what they were hoping for. It was not up to par with their standards. There is Romans 1, 20 and 21. Even though they wanted something new, even though they knew that they were missing something, even though they were hollow, when God brought them something that was true, it was clearly not new because this was true from the very beginning of the world. But when God brought forth the truth, when he revealed and manifested to them what it was that they were searching for, what it was that indeed they were in need of, it was not good enough for them. They scoffed at it. They rejected it. They despised it. Therefore, notice how God's wrath is then revealed. God's wrath is revealed, as we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, because they did not love the truth, says verse 8. Brethren, we were once scoffers of the truth. We were once the ones rejecting this truth. If you recall in John chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, our master revealed to Nicodemus that in this is the condemnation, that the light, meaning truth, came to the world, but they, in that case referring to the Jews, preferred darkness. But this is going to be our theme next week, chapter 2 of Romans. You see, right now, Paul is addressing the Gentile world. Paul is addressing those who came from this ignorance, who were immersed deeply in idolatry, which is simple as they did not want to acknowledge God's power. So when we begin to see, brethren, is we have to be warned and we have to be careful that we do not fall back into an ungrateful mindset. That even though God has cleansed us, that we are like the one leprous Samaritan leper who came back. And who fell before his face and gave thanks to God and thanked Jesus for cleansing him. Many times, brethren, we can easily fall back into being like one of the nine. That when we have obtained what God has given us, when we have obtained that cleanliness for our souls, we continue to go on our way rejoicing, but forget to thank God Almighty for cleansing us in the first place. What is supposed to be a glorious occasion for the power of God, we selfishly transform it into a glorious occasion for our own satisfaction. We go back to Romans chapter 1. You see, what reveals the wrath of God is that spirit of ingratitude, that ungrateful mindset that we once had. But not only that, notice in verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. Well, who does this sound like? Oh, that's right. Chapter 5, Ecclesiastes, what we've been studying. The spirit of presumption. The spirit of arrogance. You see, God's wrath was kindled because man believed to be wiser than God. In their ingratitude and in being ungrateful, well, now we're professing to be wise. We've read this, right? Because chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes warns against the sacrifice of fools. And notice verse 23, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. You see, even though God, as it is taught there in Athens by the Apostle Paul, is not an animal or is not a man, nor is he any object that we can create, man believed that it would be honorable to try to honor God in some way where we can actually see him so that we won't forget him. The reality is that God had already done that with creation. God had already revealed to us his invisible attributes through what he created around us. He didn't need our help. He didn't need us for us to take his own creation, to try to use it, to try to imagine what does God look like. You see, professing to be wise, they became fools. You know, when I read this verse, after having learned what I learned with you all through Ecclesiastes, I now understand that when I read this is, even though their hearts were good, Even though their intentions were well, it still did not deny the fact that it was wrong. They were trying to honor God in their way, and in trying to honor God in their way, they actually dishonored him. Because God is to be honored through obedience, not through arrogant imagination. We were presumptuous, brethren. We were presumptuous, thinking that God would accept anything and everything we were willing to give him. We were presumptuous, thinking that God would be willing to accept and to make an exclusive or to make an exception for what I have to offer because my heart is good, my intentions are well. Well, this was the case of the Ethiopian eunuch, wasn't it? This was the case of Saul of Tarsus. This, too, was the case of Cornelius, the Roman centurion. Three cases where we see three different men who had good intentions of trying to be godly. But instead of God accepting what they were offering, God sent them the right men to help them correct their mistake so that they could then offer him what did indeed honor him. See, brethren, this is the world we were pulled from. We were pulled from a world of presumption. We were pulled from a mindset of arrogance. Professing to be wise, they became fools. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, we are told that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And that whatever spiritual gift we have, we must remember, as we learned there in 1 Corinthians 14, the purpose of those spiritual gifts are not for boastfulness. They're not for our own selfish glory. The purpose of those gifts are to first and foremost serve God Almighty with them. But secondly, so that we can minister and serve to one another by edifying each other, by building each other up, with each one of us adding and contributing our gift in the mix. You see, in Ephesians chapter 4, when God, through his Son, gave gifts to men, we see in verses 11 through 14 that once more the purpose was so that we can grow into Christ together, so that we could be able to build upon one another, so that we could become a stronghold for the truth. But if we keep to profess being wise and we act foolishly as we once did in the world, well, we're going to stand in the way of God's glory. You see, this morning, God's glory was manifested to all of mankind. This morning, as our brother prayed in his first prayer, we had the blessing to witness a rebirth. We were able together to see the power of the gospel enacted. But no one can say it was because of me. I was the one who studied with him. I was the one who finally clarified things for him. If it had not been for me, he would have never been baptized. That's false. Because it's God who gives the increase. As I told someone else earlier, actually, I didn't plant the seed. I simply watered it. That seed had been planted long ago by someone else, by his mother and his father, by his sister, by other Christians in his life. And all those other Christians that had some kind of contribution, many of whom I do not know, I was nothing more than just one small grain of sand added to that pile that together, finally, with God, was able to bring forth fruit for his kingdom. But none of us can boast. None of us have the right to take credit for what God's power was able to do. Because it was the power of his word in the lips of his saints that were sharing it through example and through word that God was able to compile all this, mix, if you will, and finally bring forth the fruit that he is looking for. But if I profess to be wise, trying to take credit for something that I had nothing to do, in actuality, I become a fool. Notice, brethren, the world that we came from. Notice why it's a warning for us not to go back into that state of mind, because returning to that is bringing forth the wrath of God against ourselves. So we see then that we understand that all unrighteousness, all ungodliness is what God brings, kindles God's wrath. The spirit of ingratitude, this spirit of presumption. But now we continue to go forward. And notice, brethren, in verses 24 through 32, and we're not going to read it all again, but here we see a futile and debased mind. Read with me verse 24 and verse 25. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You see, a futile mind, brethren, is a mind that becomes without direction. It is a mind that gets lost in its own confusion. We began to believe our own lies. We began to believe that we were right. We convinced ourselves, like Saul of Tarsus did, that by persecuting God and his people, we were actually honoring God. We convinced ourselves, like the Ethiopian eunuch did, that by going to Jerusalem and reading that small parchment of the prophets, we then were trying to honor God. Like Cornelius did, by being a philanthropist, by doing good alms and good works before putting on Christ, that we were doing what was right. But it wasn't until the light of Christ shined in our lives that we realized, I've been in darkness and ignorance this entire time. The veil has been over my eyes this entire time. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Excuse me, chapter 3 actually. And again, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is referring to the Jews in regards to the law of Moses, but this can also apply, this principle also applies to the Gentiles in their pagan idol worshiping. Beginning there at verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Drop down in chapter 4 with me to verse 3. But even if our gospel is unveiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Brethren, the veil has been removed from our eyes. The light of Christ has shined on us. The veil has been taken away, and therefore we are, verse 18, seeing the image and glory of God, and because we are seeing it, we are transforming, because we are trying to be holy, for He is holy. But when we stop desiring to be like God, when we go back to being an obstacle that takes God's glory away from Him, when we become once more that boulder that blocks out the light of Christ, we then put the veil back on our faces. You know, I remember with my sisters, when we would go on vacation and we would travel, you know, my older sister, because she did not want to miss out on breakfast because it was free, she would open the windows so that the sun can shine and wake me and Jamie up. I, of course, knowing that she was not going to stop, would get up. But you know what my little sister would do? She'd grab the thick blanket, not the light one, but the thick, heavy blanket, and she'd cover her face with it so that the sun would not wake her up and she could fall back asleep. Brethren, many times, even though the light of Christ has already shined on us, And even though we are awake many times through complacency, through conformity, by becoming lulled into sleep by this world, we will take that heavy blanket of sin and we will cover our faces once again so that we can fall back asleep into sin and conformity. We fall in love with this world and the things that are in this world. We forget that we are children of the day, not children of the night. And therefore, when we do this, we once again fall into a futile mindset. See, in Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul asks, when you were out in the world, when you did those things in the world in your former lusts, what fruit do you have to show for it? How did it help you? How did it benefit you? In the moment of pleasure, it might have benefited you for a small amount of time, but when that pleasure was gone, when you went through with it, how else did it benefit you? The Apostle Peter asked the same question in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. He states that when we were in our former lives, in our former lusts, we were wasting our lives away. And once more, the entire book of Ecclesiastes is pointing this out, as we've been seeing, a life where we do not live with God's commandments, a life where we are not giving God and we are not rich with God in what we have is a vain of vanities life. It is the vanity of mankind. It is a worthless life. Hence, a mindset that is futile. A mind that is hollow. And this is why God's wrath is kindled. It isn't ignorance, it is unbelief. It isn't that I cannot see God clearly, it's that I choose to shut my eyes and claim that I'm blind. You see, as parents, wouldn't you understand that? When you're trying to show your child where their mistake was, and if your child is a rebellious one, I wouldn't know, I was a good kid, right? But if your child is a rebellious one, what do? They close their eyes. I can't see it, Dad. I don't know. I don't know what are you talking about? I don't see it. Well, open your eyes and you will. Have you ever wondered why the world is afraid of opening the Bible? Why the world doesn't want to rightly divide the whole counsel of God? Because the mindset in the world is, if I don't see it, it cannot come fall back on me. If I do not see it, I cannot be held accountable for it. But yet, Romans 1, 18 and 19, how did this sermon begin? God has already taken away any and all excuse that we can come up with when he put us smack in the middle of the creation that speaks about his invisible attributes and Godhead. It kindles his wrath when we choose to ignore his presence in our lives because it is hurtful. Therefore, as we see, it is indeed a warning to us as the justified, because we are no longer children of wrath, but we can fall back into that mindset again. And it's very easy to fall back into that mindset, because if we are ungrateful to our God, if we don't thank him for the blessings he has given us, and if we don't acknowledge that without him we are nothing, what follows next is that we then think that we are standing before him in righteousness. We start praying with ourselves as the Pharisee did, saying, I am this, I am that, I do this, I do that, not realizing that I am not going home justified. My arrogant thought, because of my ungrateful spirit, leads me then and produces in me a vain, hollow mind. The grace of God is made vain in me. The cross of Christ is hollowed out because of my arrogant mindset. And therefore, when I take the blood of Christ as common, then I kindle the wrath of the Almighty. Indeed, the final section of chapter 1 is a warning to us who have been justified. It is a reminder, a friendly reminder from the Almighty. Don't forget the darkness you were in once. Don't forget how your ungodliness and your unrighteousness kindled my wrath. And because you are still in a world where those things and those dire warnings are still very likely and very possible, if you are not careful, we can fall out of grace. We can fall back into children of disobedience. We can once again come in contact or come face to face with the wrath of God instead of the righteousness of God. Now, my friend, perhaps you are under the impression that what you are doing by attending here is enough. Perhaps you're one of those who, when the question is asked about an emblem, you decide to take it and you decide to participate. Perhaps you think that by saying amen at the end of the prayer that you too are one of us. Don't be presumptuous. Be careful. Because lest you have repented and lest you have put on Christ in baptism, you, by the biblical description, are still a child of wrath. You are still a child of disobedience. And lest you obey the commandment given by the Son of God himself, what you are doing does not honor God, but rather it dishonors him. But see, you can change that tonight. This morning, Esteban Estrada changed that. This morning, he became a child of God. This morning, he is being used tonight as an example that you can be justified, that you can yet bring again more joy into heaven, more joy among his saints. We can once more witness another birth. But right now, in you, if you choose not to accept, even though you know you should obey, well, then that's why the wrath of God is revealed in you. Because it isn't that you do not know. It's that you're putting up the blanket over your face saying, it is still night, it is not yet time to wake up from my slumber. The Apostle Paul quotes in Ephesians, a song that is believed was sung in the first century. And the last stanza that he quotes says, awake, you who are sleeping, and let Christ shine in you. If you are subject to this invitation tonight, or if you, brother or sister, have fallen back into this ungodly and unrighteous lifestyle, if you've gone back to being an ungrateful child of God, if you have gone back into being presumptuous, thinking that you can live a double life, that you can be a sinner at home and a saint among his church, if you believe that you're standing without shame before God but are now realizing that you are not, because God cannot be mocked, we can help you come back to him in good grace. We can help pick you up from the ground, wash away those cuts that you obtained from stumbling. We can help you by lending you our strength through encouragement and through prayer and with the study of God's word together. But unless you tell us, we will not know. And unless you are willing to let us put our shoulder and lift you up, we won't realize that you actually have been on the ground from your stumbles. We don't read minds. We are not God. But God has put us in place to lend of you our strength so that together we can help each other get to that spiritual promised land. So if you are in need of our prayers, or if you are in need of being baptized this evening, won't you come forward as we stand and we sing?